Go Loud.
Go Loud presents Talking Bollocks, proudly supported by FlyFit. With 20 locations nationwide, there's always a FlyFit gym nearby to help you crush your fitness goals. Visit flyfit.ie.
The Hypnoga.
Episode 184 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud and proudly supported by FlyFit. With 20 locations nationwide, there's always a FlyFit gym there, boy. Join FlyFit today from €35 per month and get big and strong with expert trainers and state-of-the-art equipment. Join FlyFit today at flyfit.ie.
It's me, Terry Flower.
It's me, COB. And today we're joined by...
the future, Ian Machado Gary.
Love it. Ian, how are you, mate?
Good, man. Good to be home. Good to be back in Ireland. Good to soak up the energy, the good vibes, and just, yeah, it's always nice to come back to home soil.
Yeah, thanks for coming in as well. We know you're flat out busy. Have you got a load of media coming up now?
Do you know what? I'm flat out fucking golf. Do you know what? I wanted to come back, see some friends, see some family. So my kid has got cousins here and stuff. And I want to keep, we travel the world so much that it's like any opportunity I can come back and have them keep those connections, I want to do it. And then I love golf and Ireland's got it in just abundance. Yeah. So it's just, yeah, any excuse to go on a golf course.
Where were you this morning?
Playing golf.
On the links?
No, the links is tomorrow morning. No, I played Malahide with my cousin. He's a member there and he's like, fuck it, dudes, I don't know how old he is now, 16, 17. And he's like top three amateur in the country. Unbelievable. He's off like one. And I'm like, dude, it's going to be unbelievable. Like, he's going to be so talented at golf.
So you're thinking about now, like, one eye on the future of golf,
for 100%, MMA. No, look, I've always said this. I'm a competitor.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we're doing, I'm going to win.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you go, I bet you I could throw this cup into that bin over there, and I go, I bet you I could do it better for you. So it's just a competitive nature. I can't help it. And it's like, anything I want to do, I believe, especially if I really like it, I feel like I could be unbelievable at it. So I've said for years now, when I'm finished fighting, because I want to retire around 30, 33, have it done. I believe I could set everything I need to do in those next 6 years. I want to be a professional golfer, for sure.
That's young.
Very young.
Well, I'm 26 now. Yeah, I'm 15 fights into my career. 7 in Cage Warriors, 8 in the UFC, undefeated. If I fight for another 3 years, I'll have one at the end of this year and then 3 more every year. That's 10 fights. I don't need 10 fights to put myself as one of the greatest of all time. If I could name a list of 10 names right now and run through those 10 guys and get the hand raised about them, I'm telling you now, play a game with me. Shavkat, Kobe, Usman, Leon, welterweight's done. You go up to middleweight, you can go Sean Strickland, Khamzat. Fucking who else is that middle? Who's the champion? Dricus du Plessis, and throw in one more. Jack Della Maddalena and
Robert Whittaker.
There you go. Tell me now, if I don't beat all of those guys, not that that's ever going to happen, but just put it out there as an imaginary thing. You have to be up there as one of the greatest of all time. No, especially if you win two belts, right?
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Like, so, if you go back through it all, you pack her in at 33, you're two division champ, and you go back through the resume and you're like, well, he's beat him. It is hard to argue.
It's hard, and it's that's the way I look at it. It's like, what can I do in the next 3 years? What can I do before I'm 30? I turn 27 in November, and I believe in the next 3 years I'll have 3 fights every year. That's my goal. Mm. 3 fights every year. If I do 3 fights every year, I'm going to be fighting for the belt July of next year.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is defending a world title or winning other world titles.
But that goat debate for me, for most people, comes down to title defences, doesn't it? And that's why, like, Khabib is probably not recognised as the greatest, you get me?
I don't think he is.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the greatest fighters we've ever seen, but longevity matters.
Mm. Yeah.
And longevity matters so much that when you argue, like, the point, it is opinion. It's all opinion-based. So if you're American, you'll say John Jones.
Yeah.
You'll say Demetrius Johnson. If you're Brazilian, you might go Anderson Silva. Do you know what I mean? This is the way I think about it. So as long as I'm in that conversation, I've had a successful career. Because while it's also opinion and it's like no one talks about DC in the go conversation.
Mm-hmm. No.
Won the Strikeforce Grand Prix, won 2-weight world champion, beat the greatest heavyweight of all time, do you know what I mean? Stipe Miocic. Went out there and had one of the baddest rivalries of all time with John Jones. And it's just, no one gives him that respect.
Yeah.
What it shows, but it shows how hard it is to get, it is. It should, because of John, but it shows how hard it is to get into that conversation.
Yeah.
How hard it is to have your name in that, like your name in that hat. You have to go out and be special.
Yeah.
And I just believe over the neck, I'm so young, I am so talented, and I work so hard that I just see it. There's no one and no way it's like I'm not getting that.
Yeah, so you're leaving no doubt. If you go through all them people, you can't even dispute it.
Yeah,
many champions is going to be in that list anyways, do you know what I mean? So while you're going through the 170s, 185 might be changing hands.
And then you've got these young up-and-comers, yeah. And we've just got this whole fluidity of fun, because it's like the rankings will change, the movement will change, someone will have a good fight, people will get excited about this matchup and that matchup, and that excites me. That's why I'm looking forward to where we are now in my career. Of, you know, it's funny, listen to this. I broke a Conor McGregor stat the other week. Conor went 7-0 in the UFC.
He's 8-0
and I'm 8-0.
Fuck.
So I broke. It's cool when you see shit like that, because I'm like, dude, that's my inspiration. That's the guy I wish that I could be like. And I'm here doing the same thing, and I've just broke a stat of his.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I'm the second fighter in UFC welterweight history to go 8-0 in the division, and I have the longest active win streak in the UFC welterweight division. And I'm like, for 26, we're not doing bad.
No,
we're
not
too bad, and we've only just started. We're young.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And so you probably don't know, you probably never listened to an episode of this.
Bro, I was in fucking stitches laughing. I can't remember the name of the guest, but he was sat here. I was in absolute ribbons laughing about him doing the Gary impression.
John Cleary.
I was in stitches. And he's like, they're having a culture party up here. The way he was there, I was in fucking ribbons laughing at him.
Yeah.
And he's like, do it again. And it's just so funny. He's like, you guys having a culture party up there? Fucking hurry up, will you? No, go on. But anyway, so have.
A zinger is like an either or a would you rather or something like that, Calvin. You have one, don't you?
Yeah, so because you were talking about golf, and obviously you've told us now what your plans are with golf or when you hang up the gloves, what other sport would you pick? You can't pick golf. What other sport are you going to pick after you finish fighting?
After fighting?
Yeah.
I'd love to try going to the NFL.
Really? Yeah,
I think I love it. I think it's they're so technically talented and they're so fat. Now, look, I'm not as fast as these guys.
Yeah.
But I reckon I could play unbelievable defense and just thump them out off someone at the right time.
Yeah.
And just catch them. Like, I just read the game.
It's all about grabbing and holding, isn't it?
But it's all about reading the game and understanding where the ball's going. And then, look, it'd be nice to come back and maybe do like one of the hurling of grass. Like, at that point, like, it'd be nice to come back and play a bit of hurling, the fastest game on grass, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Whole old fucking sport.
You could have just said darts or something.
Yeah,
right?
Keep it simple.
Like, yeah. Ah, do you know what? No, like, I think, darts is like, again, consistency. I'd get it. It's that thing, if you do it enough, you'll get good at it. I don't know. No, for me, I want something that's going to...
You want a physical challenge.
Boxing, to be honest, mate. You know, this is a good story. So, when I was back and forth with the UFC about the Kobe conversation, about is Kobe going to fight, what's happening, like, where's the response, what the hell is happening with him? Forget him, because he's fucking in the rearview mirror now. But at that time, when it was humming and hawing of is it happening, is it not, like, does he want the fight, does he not, is he going to say yes? I got my team to email the IABA, the Irish Amateur Boxing Association, was like, look, if Conor's not fighting for some reason, or Kobe, I can't fight Kobe at this event, fuck it, I'll go do the Olympics for Ireland in boxing. And I got my team to message people, get that out there. And I was like, I'll go out and win gold 100%. There's no way. I know how talented I am. There's no way anyone's beating me. So I tried to throw my name in that hat and see if I could kind of pull a few strings. And then it was just like, look, the fight got announced at MVP, and I went, right, that takes priority. So yeah, I tried that. Look, I'd fight Canelo Alvarez today and I'd smoke him. He's far too small. He's way too small. He's like 5'9". He'd never touch me. I'd put my jab out and he wouldn't be able to hit me. So it's just boxing. There you go. We've gone a long way around, but boxing. Go back to the roots.
Yeah, we were coming to St. Darts to give the body a rest, but...
No. If I'm still, look, if I'm finishing a tour, I'm only going into my prime. Do you know what I mean? You could fight for 6 more years and still be one of the best athletes on the planet.
There's a few quid to be made in darts, though.
Look, there is, but like at the end of the day, like, I'd much rather be out on a golf course. I'd much rather be out in the fresh air, not inside with a load of lads drinking booze, fucking going, da, 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 you know? The energy's great.
Good.
Don't get me wrong. The energy Yeah, he's great. And it's fucking, it's a good atmosphere. But there's more things I could be doing that would trigger my brain mentally. Like, I'm one of these guys, I can't sit down for more than 5 minutes, and standing there, like, holding a pack of darts, and I'd end up just lobbing them at the crowd or something. Yeah. Fucking fun, you know what I mean? Be like, heads up!
Yeah, catch.
Yeah, exactly. Catch! Think fast!
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
What's harder out of these three, yeah? A hole in one, a 9-dart finishing darts, or a 147 at snooker?
The wheels are turning.
Well, I'm just trying to think, is this is where numbers are coming in, right? The hole-in-ones happen. Hole-in-ones can be fluky. As much as they can be planned, they're fucking fluky, right? They're fluky. So you can play with a guy who's a 28 handicap and get a hole-in-one.
Mm.
9 darts in a row is such a small, small margin for error. I feel like it has to be the 9 darts in a row. But then again, when you talk about I'll ask you a question then. Who's throwing them? Is it the world class or is it me and you?
I'd say me and you would have to be for the question, wouldn't
it? You know what I mean? It's because if we're talking about Tiger Woods taking a golf shot, fucking
Luke Littler.
Anyone going out there who's one of those elite like fucking Barney going out there and sticking. But you know what I mean? Now you're talking, right, that guy's, I've seen it. We've all seen it. And then you look at Ronnie O'Sullivan going out and hitting the balls. I feel like it has to be the darts because it's such a small margin for error. It's such a small target. So I'd have to say the darts, especially if it's me and you.
Yeah, you're all day, fucking hell.
You could give us 24 hours. I don't think we'd get close. We'd get one. We might get 180 and be like, yes, we're there. Yeah, there you go. One. Great, start again. So I feel like it'd have to be the darts. That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
I'd be interested after this to look at the numbers and see what's more statistically like reoccurring in the sport. How many hole-in-ones out of 1,000 shots are taken on the PGA Tour go in one on a par 3 vibes.
Yeah.
How many guys in darts hit the 9 darts and how many guys get the 1?
So I think numbers wise, the hole in one is actually the least hit out of all of them. But if we're looking
it's not the hardest.
At me and you,
that's the point.
We could possibly hit a hole in one.
I could fluke. I've never done it. I've not done it. I've hit many eagles, many birdies, but I've never done a hole in one.
But we're never hitting a 9 darts or a 147, are we?
No.
Well, just not.
We're not doing it. That's the point I'm trying to ask. If it's us doing it, there's more chance of us standing on a tee box and trying to just hit 50 balls and get one in. You know what I mean? So it has to be. But it's a good question.
Right, so that's that in, yeah? So what we do with every guest, if you want to take us back to the start, tell us where you're from, what was life like growing up for you?
God, it feels like a lifetime ago when you think of that. It's like just the world has moved so fast. So I grew up in Raheny and Portmarnock. I had a really fucking fun childhood. Man, I just, you know, I feel like how old are you both?
40.
27.
So you guys are in the same era as me where like you'd know where your mates are by cycling, seeing all the bikes outside their gaff.
Yeah.
Not a phone.
Yeah.
So that's like, I feel like we were that last childhood without the phone. Everyone's like, I'll ring me mate. So it's like, no, you'd go through a whole little circuit of, I'll go to his house, then his, because it's all on the way. And I'll find the bikes outside at one point and they're all there or they're all floating about at the shops or something. So I had a fun childhood. Played outside a lot. I was a hyperactive kid. Always like played sports my whole life. I played Ga and hurling with Raheny as a kid, really, really competitively, Division 1 vibes. Like, we were on it every year. Like, we were just always in that top end of the bracket. I played with Brian Howard. Brian Howard was on my team. One of the best Ga players I've seen in a long, long time. Mm. Unbelievable. But yeah, I had a really fun childhood. And then it was about 8 years of age. I turned to my old lad and I went to him, I'd love to punch someone in the face. And he went, what? And I went, I just love to do it. And he went, right. Took me to a boxing club. They were like, he's a bit young. Bring him back when he's 10. So when I was turning 10, a boxing gym had opened up down the road for me in Donamead. And I'm like, right. Like, look, Dad, here's the way it goes. Either you take me or I'm just going to go myself. Mm. I could have my bike and a go. He's like, come on, I'll take it. So I went down, fell in love, hooked. Like, just completely in love with it. Loved the mindset, the discipline, the dedication, the knowledge you could learn. And it just made my brain tick. It made me go, right, I'm in on this. Like, I'm in on this journey. I ended up having like 300 amateur boxing fights. Was fighting basically twice a week, every week. I loved it. Got into judo then, got my black belt in judo. And during all this, there was a rise of Conor McGregor. And the whole of Ireland just changed. Like, what's this MMA? So I was like, what the fuck is MMA? And I looked into it. I was like, that's a bit of me. There's punching, there's kicking, there's grappling. Like, this is it. And I loved it. I loved watching it. I loved the energy of the fights, the way it could just change so fast. It could be so violent and it could be over in one second. And I was like, right, that's it. I was in college and I went, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm here. I quit college, didn't tell anyone, didn't ask anyone for anyone's advice. I was like, this is my life. I'm going to do it my way. And if I make any mistakes and it doesn't go the way I plan, then it's on me. I have full responsibility of it. I didn't want anyone else's opinion or anyone else's kind of
input. Basically.
Input, because people can kind of swerve you off your path.
Yeah.
So I went, I'm going to take this road and I don't want anyone's advice.
Yeah.
So I quit college.
What were you studying?
Retail and services management in DIT. I had no want to do it.
Mm.
I did it to please me, ma. That's the truth. I did it to please my mom and keep her happy. And I walked in the first day of second year and went, nope. Walked out the door, was in bed for like 7 days later, and I rang my uncle. I was like, look, David, I need a job. Don't tell me, man. I'm after quitting college. I want to train. I want to become an MMA fighter. I'd never fought at this point. I'd never trained MMA at this point. I was just like, I want to become a professional MMA fighter. I was like, can you give me a job? He's like, yep, you'll start on Friday. I'll see you then. I was like, all right, sweet, happy days.
And how old are you at this point?
18.
It's late 18, to be starting.
18, yeah. 18 years of age, and Ma walks into me one day in the bedroom, and I was like, Ian, get up, you have to go to college. I'm like, about that. I dropped out, and she's like, what? Long story short, she wrote me a letter, 3-page essay, and word for word, this is what she said. Being the next Conor McGregor is not a fucking plan. Skip forward a couple of years. 8-0 in the UFC, undefeated in MMA, future UFC champion, already a Cage Warriors world champion, undefeated, one of the brightest prospects the sport's ever seen. And I fucking did it. Do you know what I mean? I did. It was everything I said that day was exactly how it should have been. When I sat there and I had that conversation with myself as a kid going, look, I'd rather be the guy that said, fuck it, I gave it a go, than I could have done that.
Mm,
yeah.
And that was basically what motivated me. I was like, I would rather give it my all and try that and fail than never even give it a go. And as a kid, it was tough because I had friends, family, people saying, ah, you can't do that. You might not do this. And I was like, no, none of you know what I know. I know how good I am. I know what I can do. And that self-belief at that young age was strong. And it's got me to where I am today. Do you know what I mean? Number 7 in the world. Undefeated, one of the biggest prospects the world's ever seen, and I'm delighted I made that decision that day.
Yeah, so that letter, you actually, the UFC done a promo.
Bro, they went in on it.
Yeah,
every newspaper in Ireland before I made my UFC debut went, being the next Conor McGregor is not a fucking plan, says Ian Machado Gary's mom, and I'm like, oh, she's gonna hate this.
Yeah.
But that's it, like, look, after I won my world title, I had a party. I came home. My wife surprised me. She had all my friends, all my family over, threw a little party. Had the belt and stuff, and it was a cool vibe. And everyone left, and my mom stayed back to help clean up and stuff. And I just looked at her and went, you have something to tell me. And she was like, what do you want me to say? I was like, you know what I want you to fucking say. Tell me I was right. And she was like, you are. I was like, I know. Now watch the rest of this. And then from that point on, I left to go to Costa Rica that weekend, and genuinely it feels like yesterday. Like, my life has gone so fast from that point that it's just nuts to think of the journey I've been on since that point. Like, all that hard work, all that dedication, all the sacrifice, it's still happening to this day, but it's absolutely paying off, and it's so fun.
Yeah, because it's just so crazy to think that somebody was like, you know what, I'm going to put all my eggs in the MMA basket. Fuck jobs, fuck education.
At 18.
At 18, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's usually the opposite. Usually people are trying to hand that down and be like, you know what, I might just do a part-time course in the evenings so I have something to fall back on. Mm. You went the opposite.
Yeah. It was the decision that I made. I went, right, so I cleaned windows around Dublin for 2.5-3 years. Full-time, part-time. I started full-time with my uncle, then went part-time as I started going professional. And then I stopped because I was like, look, dude, I was like, I appreciate the help. I appreciate the love. I was like, but I need to give this everything I have now. And he honestly, him helping me was one of the biggest things that got me to where I was, because he gave me the ability to have freedom. Like he still paid me. He still gave me like a little bit of money every week to get my like my petrol and stuff and just keep going, so that I could just do those things without focusing on. Mm. I didn't need a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? I started doing deliveries for Camille and stuff during COVID. I was on it. I was like, I love Camille. I was like, I'm going to do deliveries for Camille. I'm going to clean windows. I'm going to get 50% off Camille the days I don't work, 100% off the days I do work. Life's easy, lads. I was like, that's it. I'm fucking ticking over. Everything was good. I was fucking smart with it, and I wasn't wasteful. And it was me, like, I was just so driven, and I knew what I could do. And I knew if, like, I put every ounce of my dedication into this, I could get there. I could get to the top. I could shoot for the moon. I could shoot for the stars, and I'll reach them, and no one can stop me.
Mm.
And I'm still not there yet. We're still working, but like, it's coming. It's coming. And the minute that belt gets wrapped around my waist, it's still not done. There's still a whole career ahead of me.
Ian, you won a world title.
Yeah.
With no team in your corner.
I know, yeah.
Talk us through that.
It was fucking nuts, man, because I know, I've always said this, right? I never need anyone in life. I want people. I want people along the journey. I want people to want to be a part of this journey. But I don't need anyone. If I walk into a fight tomorrow, I don't need anyone. I don't need, like, I have Damien in my corner now. He's my jiu-jitsu coach, one of the greatest grapplers we've ever seen.
It's not bad to have, is he?
Not a bad jiu-jitsu. Not a bad jiu-jitsu coach to have, right? But I don't need him. I train with him. He's given me so much confidence from the training we do together that I can actually go into the fight and I don't need him. I know the knowledge he's gifted me with and the way we've worked together, that I could just go in and do me and be free. So going in there at 21 years of age, like 23 years of age, fighting for a world title with no one in my corner, it shows that same mentality that I had when I was an 18-year-old kid of, I'm going to do this whether anyone's there or not. Because the truth is, I'm doing it for me. I'm not doing it for anyone else. I'm doing it to prove to that little kid that sat there one day and thought, should I quit college or should I do what everyone else says I should do? You know, what's the normal? Go to school, go to college, get a job, and life will come to you. Do you know what I mean? Then you'll figure out what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. How about reach for your goals? If they happen, great. If they don't happen, then walk back and find something new. I knew I could do it. I knew nothing would stop me. But the truth is, I have to prove to myself that kid that made that decision that day when he was 18 years of age to quit college, not let his mom, his dad, his friends, family, no one get in my way and make my own decision in life, I'm proving that kid was right every time I step in that octagon. Every time I get in there, it doesn't matter what's being said. The people love me, they hate me. I'm going to go out there and do what I do because it's what I want to do. It's what I love and it's what I've set my goals out to be.
You really don't care if people like you or don't like you, don't you know?
No fucks given.
Like, and that's so easy to see from the outside about you. You're just yourself all the time. You don't give a fuck.
And here's the thing. People sit there and they say, oh, he's trying to be like Conor. I'm like, lads, if you gave 90% of lads in Dublin a microphone and talent or hard work, they're going to sound fucking similar, because we've all grown up hearing the same shit being said to us. You know, you shut your mouth, you'll do what you're told. Yeah. You know what I mean? How many times our moms or dads or our nanny said that to her? Listen to you, you'll shut your fucking mouth, you'll do what you're told.
Yeah.
You'll eat what you're told, you'll do what you're, you know what I mean? You don't argue back.
Yeah.
So like, when you have these little things and all, like, we all sound similar because we've all grown up in the same fucking area.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. I don't care whether people say I'm trying to be like Conor or I'm not. I know I'm not. Mm. I know I'm me. Has he had a massive influence in my life? Absolutely, of course he has. But I'm me. I'm doing it my way. I'm doing it the way I enjoy doing it. I'm causing havoc. I'm pulling people up when they need to be pulled up. I'm having fun and I'm enjoying the ride. And that's what it's about. If you're not enjoying the process and the journey, you can't enjoy the end goal, because it's not about the end goal. It's about now. It's about living in the moment and being present, because at the end of the day, it's all we have. Do you know what I mean? There's no say that I walk out and get hit by a Dublin bus. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's no say. Do you know what I mean?
Touch wood. Fucking wood.
Where's the fucking H's on the way home? Give me on the way home.
Kavir, you said, so we kind of fast forward a bit there to win your world title with Cage Warriors.
Mm.
But your debut with Cage Warriors wasn't too long ago. It was 2019.
Yeah, February, what was that like? 16th, I believe.
What was your pro debut like?
So I took my pro debut on 7 days' notice. 7 days' notice. My coach at the time rang me and goes, you know, what weigh you? And I went, I think I was like 83, 84 at the time. And he's like, no, I need you to be fucking honest with me. Like, on the money. He's like, I've got something here for you. And if you can't make weight, we're not taking it. I went, what is it? Where is it? When is it? And he went, it's a fight next week. for Cage Warriors in Liverpool against another guy from Dublin, Ireland, James Sheen. He's currently the welterweight Cage Warriors champion. I went, fuck it, let's do it, let's go. Let's honestly just get the foot in the door. And I went in and I was like, right, made weight. I was, and at this time, like, this kid won an amateur title, the best amateur title at the time in Ireland before I went amateur. Like, he was that guy when I was starting. And I went, I'll go out and I'll rinse him. Went out, boom, boom, cleaned him with a 1-2. Boom, boom, cleaned him with 1-2. I was like, this is going to be an easy night. Boom, boom, put him on his back. I was like, here we go. Bink, broke my knuckle in the 30 seconds in. My knuckle since that day has now, I was like, it's moved back. And I went, oh, that hurts so much. Fuck, what do I do now? I went, right, I'm going to hit him with it. I'm just going to have to do it because there's no way I'm losing my pro debut. Went out there and got a dominant decision. It was a great feeling. Got the contract for Cage Warriors and went, right, this is it. This is the path. This is everything I said I'm going to do. I know the path. It's Cage Warriors. I've seen Conor. I've seen many, many European fighters go from Cage Warriors to the UFC and have had major success. I was like, this is it. This is the start of that path. And that was, you know, 6 fights later, I'm getting a Cage Warriors title strapped down my waist.
Did you say that was 2019?
2019.
Yeah. That's frightening to think about. Like, where you are now. Mm-hmm. I know we were talking kind of off air about, like, you don't really see yourself as the superstar yet. When we're kind of looking, going, 2019.
I know, yeah.
You made your pro debut. Oh, and you're 15 and now you're in the UFC. You had to meet an NPC.
And this is the first fight I've had. So now I've had 8 fights. I have more fights in the UFC than I do a Cage Warriors.
Yeah.
8-0 in the UFC, 7-0 Cage Warriors. So it's like, I'm in that bracket now where I'm like, I'm becoming, I have fucking more fights in the UFC than most.
Yeah.
And I'm like two and a half years into my UFC journey. It's awesome. Like, this, it's just such a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And Cage Warriors is, for anyone coming up, it's the way to get into the UFC. Like, it's just, you're not going to make money. It's not about money. It's about the end goal. It's about getting to where you want to be as a kid. And man, I, for that fight, I earned £350. I was like, I genuinely don't care. I'm gonna be a UFC world champion one day. I'm gonna have private jets. I'm gonna have private yachts. I'm gonna be traveling the world. I'm gonna have houses here, there, and everywhere. But I don't care. The truth is, if I had a bungalow in fucking Malahide Estuary, I'd be happy out for life. Do you know what I mean?
I think we all would. Yeah.
But that was it. Like, for me, it's just one of those things of like, I'm not one of these people who's materialistic. I don't wear expensive clothes. I don't have any of these things. Like, it's not something I'm interested in. If you gave me €1 million today, I'd spend all of it on training. All of it. And that's with me wanting to buy a home. I'm saving up all my money to try to buy a home right now for my family, because my little kid deserves one. Me and my wife deserve a bedroom, like, to call ours. Like, lads, I've been traveling the world for 3.5 years, living out of a suitcase and traveling Airbnbs and hotels. 3.5 years.
That's heavy, that.
Bro, it's non-stop.
Yeah.
Especially with a young kid as well.
It's that question of, where are we going next?
Yeah.
And you're like, let's book it. Do you know what I mean? And it's nuts, but we need a base now. And it's that feeling of like, if you still gave me €1 million today, I'd go, right, I could hire this coach for a year, this coach for a year, this coach for a year. I could build my own facility. And everything is investment. And just put it all back into me and get me to be the best I possibly can be, because all of that hard work is going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, it's nuts. It's just, it's a whole journey, and I love it. Just a little more.
Do you get fixated on the O, on the record?
No.
No.
But no one's ever fucking beat me. That's the way I look at it. No, I don't get fixated on it. I know I can beat every single person that's going to stand across from me. I just need to go out and do it.
Mm.
So I don't think about it as, oh, I need to keep that undefeated streak. I'm just going out there going, I've already won this fight. I just need to do it.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
It's just like a lot of fans get fixated on you. I think it's more so in boxing than in MMA, because it's so rare that somebody has an O in MMA, especially after fucking 15 fights or whatever. When you look at Makachev has a loss on his record, look at what that cunt is like.
I know, he's fucking unbelievable.
Like, it's actually a joke.
It's to remain undefeated in the UFC, it's the top tier, the elite talent, the best of the best.
And it doesn't stop.
No, it just keeps churning. Like, the champion won't be the champion. Now there'll be a new champion. He'll be just as dominant. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Look, for example, the last kind of champions. You look at Usman, how dominant
he was. Yeah.
And now look at Leon and what Leon's doing. The way Leon beat him, the way Leon beat Kobe, the way Leon, I believe, is going to go out and beat Bilal. Just going to make very little mistakes, and he's going to go out there and he's going to get, I feel like it's going to be a decision. Leon doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but he'll go out there and his hand raised and he'll remain the welterweight world champion. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day, is getting your hand raised. Mm. And it's that thing of like, there's going to be that new guy who's going to take over. And then you look at someone like, you look at the young talent. There's Shavkat, there's Jack Della Maddalena, and there's me. Fucking three of us, any one of us could hold that belt tomorrow if you put us in a fight with Leon. Like, that's just the way it is. We've seen it with Leon versus Usman. It's one shot.
Yeah.
And you've got that belt wrapped around your waist. It's that simple. Mm. And every fight is stylistically different because someone's a different stance, a different height, a different shape, a different tendencies. It's all completely different.
Yeah.
And you can't, there's no carbon copy of any one fighter. There's no one that's the same. So every fight is different. And every fight has a different approach, a different training camp, a different game plan. And it's constant evolution. It's constant game planning, and I love it. I love the mental side behind the sport.
Off air, we were having a little chat, and your last fight came up. You're frustrated, aren't you? Talk us through that, yeah.
Lads, I've lost hours of sleep.
On a win?
Dude, I know, on a win, but you've got to understand, you know the way people, I say, oh, there's so much pressure with this big card and this big event. I'm like, I don't feel any of it. I'm the one who sets the bar high. Do you know what I mean? I'm the one who's going, I expect this, and I expect it to be done in that fashion. I went out there, lads, and I grabbed his leg, and I took his back, and I had him, and it was my own mistake. He defended well, but I can finish anyone on the back, and I fucking sit there and go, well, you couldn't finish him, you cunt, you know what I mean? And I'm livid, like to the core, I'm livid, and I feel like I do be steaming when I think about it. My missus is fucking winding me up joking about me all the time. I'm like, shoot anything, do you know what I mean? Like, just, do you want to finish this? Well, look, let's finish more. What is it going to take you 15 minutes? I'm like, oh, she winds me up about it, but like, I expect the best from me. And when I take MVPs back 2.5 minutes into that, I'm like, this is it, you're going out. And I made a minor mistake, and the world seen 11 more minutes of a fight that they shouldn't have seen. What the world should have seen, and the way that fight should have went, is Ima Shadowgary goes out there, catches MVP's kick, takes him to the cage, rips his head off the cage to take his back, takes his back, chokes him unconscious, stands over his body when he's limp on the ground and goes, what's next? Walk out the fucking octagon, leaving the fans going, holy fuck, this kid just went out here and subbed that man unconscious, and everyone just jawed like that. That's the way it should have been. But God has a different plan, and he's fucking winding me up. Like, I could sit here and tell you for 45 minutes how I'm pissed at myself. But this is why I know I'm going to be a world champion. It's because I won the fight. I'm happy, but I'm not satisfied because I expect greatness from myself.
Yeah.
Mm. I expect myself to be that guy. And I went out there and I out-grappled him with ease, but I should have finished him. And that has me livid.
Yeah.
Like, livid to the core. And Damian Maia's like, you were great. He's like, you're great. Your jiu-jitsu was great. You had a couple of mistakes. It's not the end of the world. You dominated the fight. And I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't finish the fucking thing, so I'm livid. And he's like, don't worry, we'll work on that. But I can tell you this now, I'm never not finishing a fucking fight again. If I get to those positions, they're going out. From this fight onwards now, I'm going to go out there and just put like the foot down and go through people because I'm so annoyed at myself.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's that drive, that anger, that frustration that is going to just push me to be the best.
Are you even happy with the win?
Because I didn't want to fight.
You didn't want to fight.
I didn't want to fight, man. I knew I'd beat him. But I wanted to go out. So the way I looked at the challenge was, MVP is someone who's fought on the feet. Like, he's a 10-time world kickboxing champion. He has this in and out motion of points, kickboxing, taekwondo vibes. If you give him that, it becomes this kind of flow that he's very good at understanding. So how do you disrupt someone who is used to this flow? Stay still.
Mm.
Now he's like, right, I don't like this. This guy's just standing still. That's not how I fight. I don't fight planted. If you watch any of my fights ever before this fight, I'm never like that. I touch, I move, I dance, I glide, I set up traps. With him, I was like, you're going to make a mistake. I'm going to make you be aggressive. You're going to make mistakes. And I didn't touch his lead leg because I know he wants me to do that.
Yeah.
So for me, this approach was patience. And I want, do you know what? I went, I'm not excited to fight this guy remotely. I have no want nor desire to go out and fight this dude. What makes me go out here and want to fight this guy and put on a show? And it's going, well, I'm in Brazil. I've been training with Charles Oliveira and the boys at Shoot the Box in São Paulo for the last year. And I'm training with one of the greatest grapplers we've ever seen. I'm going to go out here and grapple this guy. And I told everyone on the mic, I'm going to go out here and I'm beat him on the feet. And MVP bought the bait. He bit the bait and he went there then and went, right, this is going to be a fun. And I ragdolled him.
Yeah.
I went there and anytime I got a hold of him, it was easy. So I went out there and I had fun proving to myself that my jiu-jitsu works at the elite level against the elite fighters in the division, in the world. And that to me is like, great, well done, kid. You went out and proved that at the highest level. And here's me fucking pulling guard, attacking leg locks for the crack. And Damien's like, you're just playing. He's like, I went out to Damien and I went, let's attack a leg lock. And he goes, where? I went, if I get into the cage, I reckon I could pull guard and attack his leg. And he went, why? I went, fuck it, why not? Let's have some fun. Like, if we're going to do it, let's do something that's going to make me happy. And we went out and we tried it and I didn't finish it, but I had fun. And that's what matters. I had fun in those exchanges. So for me, it's like, I'm happy I got the win, but I'm not remotely satisfied.
Another big one that you are really an advocate for was bringing the UFC back to Dublin. And last week, it was 10 years to the day. Yeah.
Is that Blandale, was it? McGregor?
10 years 10 last
years
week
ago,
was.
What the fuck?
But now I think you're past that.
Do you know how much shit I got for saying that recently? I said, I think it's past that point. And everyone was like, oh, he doesn't want to bring them back. I'm like, no, I don't think the UFC is going to bring it back.
No, the UFC won't. No,
I don't think they're going to put, right, as much as I'd fucking love, the way I'd love to do it is McGregor, Chandler, and me versus anyone, and put that in Crow Park and make it fucking happen. Do you know what I mean? Buy a bleeding tarp, put something over the octagon, and just sell 100,000 seats. You know what I mean? Let's make history. Let's do it. Let's bring it back. We've got the greatest star of sports ever seen, and there's no one like him. He completely transcended the game in Conor, right? Put a show that he deserves. Give it to him in his hometown. Give it to him at the time that suits the Irish times, and go out there and enjoy it and make history. And put the next star as the co-main and just create that hype, relight that fire in Irish MMA in the home soil because they've done so much for the sport. I still want to do it.
Yeah.
And I still believe I can do it. And it's better to have two horses in the race and push for it than it is having one. Mm. So me and Conor pushing it will make sense. It's just pay-per-views, man.
Yeah.
It's you can't put a card on that big that has that much influence in the division and it not link with the American audience. So for me, I'm like, I'm going to continue to push it. I'm going to continue to do it. Anytime I'm renegotiating a contract, I'm going to try to talk about it and say, one of these has to be in Dublin. Like, we have to make it happen. We'll just see. It's a matter of time, I think, because I've said it. I said it since my third professional fight. I'm going to be the guy who's going to fly the flag for Ireland in the UFC. I am that next wave of Irish MMA. I am the future of this sport. And I'm going to be the guy that's going to bring them back. And I still, to this day, I want to make that happen. It's just a matter of time, in my opinion. Yeah. Well, I get what you're saying, but I just don't want to say it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
I understand it.
But in your rise and in your path, it should have been the MVP fight would have been the ideal fight to have back here. Other than that, now, you're literally probably one fight away from a title shot.
I would like to, but yeah, you could argue I go out there and beat an Usman tomorrow. It's a title shot, nothing else.
Realistically, they're saying that Conor's going to fight Chandler in December. More likely you're going to be on that card. You're looking to get back out one more time. Mm. That's that. You win that fight. You're only going to fight someone that's going to be above you in the division. You're seventh. Pops. So what? You're not going to fight Burns.
I love
Burns,
him. I love him. So.
Jack.
Here's the thing with Burns, right?
Yeah.
I love him. I love him. I love his family. I love his kids. I think they're awesome. Him and me are the same type of person. Let's try and fight everyone else in the division. But at the end of the day, like, if that's the only fight, we'd both do it.
Yeah.
And he knows that, and I know that, and I love him so much, but I don't want that fight to happen because I don't want us to have his kids and my kids sat there going, this sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like that. I have nothing but love for him and his family. So it's not going to be Burns. Then you've got
Jack
Della Maddalena. That's a fight that's going to happen down the line. Do I think it's going to be now? No. I think that's like, one of us has a world title and we're defending it because you don't want to have two young up-and-comers fight. That doesn't make sense for a world title. I think me and Shavkat's different because of the 18-0 and the 15-0. I think that's a fight that the winner that gets the world title.
Yeah.
Bilal, I'd fight happily. Kamara would fight happily. Kobe's a bitch.
And that's it then.
And then it's Leon. Yeah. And do you know what I mean? And Leon's just fighting whoever's next.
Yeah.
So I'll fight any of them. I'll fight all of them. And I believe I could fight every single one of them when I go out and do and say what I'm going to do. So it's just a case of like, the way I look at it, I'd love Shavkat in December. I'd love 18-0 versus 15-0. I think it's an awesome fight. I think I have nothing but respect for the guy.
Yeah.
I've trained with him. We've shared the mats. I know how talented he is. I know how good he is. You know what I mean? I know what he brings to the table. But I know I can go out there and I can beat him. And I don't want anyone else beating him before me. I want to take that. Oh, if there's anyone going to go out there and do it, let it be me. And then what you have people saying, do you know what I mean? What do you have people saying? Like, what can they say after that?
So
you beat Shavkat. What do they say next? Oh, he's not the champion. I fucking know that, but he was the scariest guy in the division up until that point. Then I beat him. It's like, oh, but you have to do it against the world. I just beat the guy that everyone thinks the fucking boogeyman. 18-0, 18 finishes, 100% finish rate. And I go out there and I'll finish him. After this fight, it'll be 5 rounds and I'll only get better on 4 and 5.
So you put this up as a tweet, like over the weekend, and I sent it to Terrence and I said, why is he picking the worst fight possible as his next fight?
Because
and
it's the one people that can tell you what me
they
the
want.
Most.
People can say what they want about you, Ian. They can love you or hate you, but you can't help but respect that. You're literally calling for the biggest, worst fight.
The boogeyman. Next.
But nobody wants it.
No one.
I fucking want to give me. I'll take it happily. I want it. You know what I mean? I look at it and I go, there's a massive, massive market for me and Shavkat to collide. It's European MMA. It hits so much more because it hits England, Ireland, all of Europe, but it hits that Russian market that's massive as well. Do you know what I mean? It hits America, it hits Brazil because it hits the entire globe, right? And you can put that as a 5-round co-main on a Conor McGregor channel. You can put that as a 5-round main event.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the world wouldn't be upset. Do you know what I mean? And we go out there and I know it's not an easy fight. But I don't want the easy fights. I want to fight the best in the world. I want to fight the guys that are the scariest people on the planet. And I want to go out and beat those guys. Do you know what I mean? Jeff Neal, hardest hitter in the division. Do you know what I mean? Hit Hands of Steel is his nickname. And I've seen him put people unconscious with one shot. MVP, he's a fucking ball ache is what he is. That's what I told Evan before I signed the fight. I was like, he's a fucking pain in the arse because there's no one else like him. So you're getting ready to fight this guy that there's no one else in MMA like him.
Yeah.
And you have to do it because you just need to go out there and get your hand raised. But that fight doesn't benefit the rest of the fights in the division because they're all Muay Thai, a bit more clean, a bit more natural to this MMA style. And then the rest of them are wrestlers. Do you know what I mean? You've got Kobe, Bilal,
Usman,
all of them are high-level wrestlers.
Yeah.
Shavkat, Jack, me, and Leon are all Muay Thai fighters with good hands. So it's a lot easier to prepare for those guys than it is for MVP. So I'm taking the awkward, irritating fights. 18-0 versus 15-0, undefeated versus undefeated. It's a number one contender match. And then the truth is, I'd love to go out there again then in like March and fight Usman. Because I'm like, right, well, I want to prove it. So give me this guy before he ends up fucking retiring. Let me just scalp him. Then I'll have beaten 6 guys that are ranked and then I'll fight for whoever has the belt.
That's mental because what I think actually happens is Saturday, Leon wins.
I think
Bilal doesn't get the rematch.
No.
I think they announced then Savka, Leon, as the next title fight.
So.
And then you're just kind of hold your chance because you just fought. So if you hadn't had a fight, you'd be like, right, I'm up next. But as you said, you want to fight on Conor's card, so you're going to have to fight somebody in December.
So give me one of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I've said this. This is the way I've wrote it up, right? This is the way I've spoken into existence. And if you think about this, it's not going to happen because of Khamzat, but what a fucking road it would be. Let me fight Usman next then. If what you're saying is right, give me Usman in December. Let me go out and scalp Usman. Let's say Shavkat goes out and beats Leon.
There you go. Yeah.
Shavka.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
Undefeated, fighting for a world title. It'd be 19-0 versus 16-0.
Yeah.
I go out, I scalp him, I take the belt. Ian Machado Gary's 17-0 UFC welterweight world champion. Now, what I need is fucking Khamzat to go out there, get two more fights in that time as well, and go out and win the welterweight or the middleweight world title. And then I go, fuck it, Boogeyman's there, let me take out the other undefeated. That's what I'd love. And it's a whole, look, it's a whole process. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts. If I do that, you take out two of the people that are the scariest in the division, that puts a lot of fear into everyone else. Yeah. And that excites me, and that gets me motivated to train. That gets me, like, ticking. That gets my gears going and my brain going, right, I'm going to make this the best camp I've ever had. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to show the world that I am one of the greatest the sport's ever seen.
Right, I have two more before we finish up, Teddy.
Go for it.
You, any? You
no, go on, go for it.
So your fight name is the future.
Yeah.
When does the future become the present?
The future is every second that passes from this moment on. Every moment, every second from now moving forward is the future. The future will always be the future. So I'm always going to be the future of this game, because even when I'm done, I'm still going to have everyone talking about me. Even when I'm done, I'm still going to have everyone comparing them to me. So it doesn't become the present.
Hmm.
If anything, it'll just become my little boy's name and he'll take over and he'll come with the title as well. You know what I mean?
So future.
I'm never going to take the name off, because every fight from now, it's what's happening in the future. It's that whole what if. And look, I got the nickname The Future for my amateur debut. I went out, I sparked this kid in 61 seconds with a left hook. And the commentator, Phil, was like, ladies and gentlemen, have we just seen the future? And I'm like, that's it.
That's
the future. The future of Irish MMA, the future of European MMA, the future of the sport, the future of the UFC. It's just not going to stop. It doesn't change.
Mm-hmm. And then this one will be a bit more serious. So you've said you don't need anybody. You've had fights with no one in your corner.
Mm.
It's been well documented. You've gone from gym to gym to gym. Mm. And you said as well, you don't really get this settled because you're bouncing around the world.
Mm.
Do you feel disconnected from Ireland at all?
No, because I'm on it. I am so headstrong and focused on what I'm doing that I don't have a lot of time to reflect. I don't have a lot of time to look back. I'm just focused on the now. How can I be the best me now and get to where I want to be? Whilst enjoying the journey. But it's hard to sit back and look and reflect and go, look at where I've come from and what I've done to where I am now. But every time I do that, I'm like, yeah, but I'm still not done. I've still got so much more to do. So I don't feel disconnected in any way, shape or form. I feel like I'm a kid on a journey who's got so much to prove to himself, and I can't focus on anything else other than becoming the best fighter on the planet right now. And when I look at it, every time I fight, I'm flying the flag for Ireland.
Mm.
I'm born and bred in Dublin, Ireland. I've grown up here my entire life. So every time I go into that octagon, they say fighting out at Dublin, Ireland. I'm flying the flag for my country. I love the fact that Brazil has adopted me because my wife's Brazilian. My kids got that Brazilian energy. I'm training out in Brazil. I love the fact that Brazil have adopted me. And they feel like I represent them as a country, because that shows a connection. So for me, I don't feel disconnected. I just feel like I'm so in the moment and focusing on being the best I can possibly be. I'm focusing on what's next. How can I go out there and make the biggest statement possible this time? That I'm just going out there and living my dream and doing what I wanted to do as a kid and living my best life. That when it's all said and done, I'll be able to sit down and go, fuck it, Ireland, we did it. Brazil, we did it. Like, everyone who's a fan of me, we did it.
Mm.
And that's why I want to, like, with, like, social media and stuff, I want to make sure that everyone sees, like, this open book. I'm not hiding anything. I want to let everyone into my life and understand the journey, because that's the benefit we have in this day and age of technology. It's like, I want you guys to understand where I am, what I'm doing, and what it's like. And I have this beautiful ability to travel the world. Embrace it, enjoy it, and do it, because it's all we've got right now. So I don't feel disconnected in any way, shape or form. I feel like I'm just a young kid who's got a lot of focus, and I'm not letting anything take me off that focus.
Absolutely class. Look, we don't have to go in, but fuck me, man. Your drive and determination is off the scales. You have me pumped. I'm MMA debut, I am, yeah.
It's one of these things. Like, I have this unapologetic self-belief that no one can stray me off my path. I know I've been gifted. I've been gifted abilities and gifted mindset and determination and drive. And I know I've been gifted a vision of what I can do in life. And I'm not letting anything stop me. I'm not letting anyone or anything stop me. And I have to go out there and do me and do everything that I know I possibly can do. And it will all just come to fruition. And like I said to you, I feel like I've put the penny in the machine and it's just stopped. And I just need to fucking boot the thing and it just needs to drop. We've all done it. You know when you put the money into the fucking vending machine
but now the
and you don't get your
off.
Bar and you don't get your bar and you're like, fucking, I just feel like I'm just waiting for it to drop and this whole thing's just going to blow up. And it's that fight with MVP finishing him and leaving him limp in the octagon could have been it. It's the next fight. Is it going to be Shavkat? Is it going to be Usman? Do you know what I mean? Going out there and putting him limp, knocking him out, choking him unconscious and leaving that visual. Because humans are visual creatures. You know, you see that man unconscious on the canvas and you're stood above him, that lasts in your brain. And that's the last memory you had. You're like, fuck me, look at Poetan. Look what he's going out there and he's putting people out. And the world's just like, he's unbelievable. That's the way I feel like. It's just that one knockout, that one finish, and everything's changing. And it's on me to go out and do it. There's no one else. There's no one else whose hands it's in other than mine to go out there and make that happen. And that excites me in life.
So unbelievable. Hopefully we see you back out before the end of the year then.
No, if I'm not fighting by the end of the year, I'm going to be fucking livid. I'm going to be fuming. We have issues if I'm not fighting by the end of the year. I've said it from my get-go, 3 fights a year, every year. That's what I'm aiming for. Because I can't not
fight.
Right,
so we just announced it then. It's you and Usman at 308. Yeah,
look, I'd like Shavkat. But let's see. Do you know what I mean? Let's see how the ball plays out. But either one and I'm fucking happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You give me Usman or Shavkat, I am happy in December. I'll go out, I beat one of them. I'd like to fight once more before the title because when I get that title, I want to be dominant in every asset of the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like having another 3, 4, 5 months to just tick all the boxes I want to tick means I'm going to be unbeatable for life. And now it's like, right, I fight International Fight Week, June, July of 2025. Ian Machado Gary's headlining a UFC International Fight Week against whoever is the champion at the time. I go out there and I beat, whether it's Leon, whether it's Shavkat, whether it's whoever it is. I go out and I beat them. I get that belt wrapped around my waist. I'm like, right, now it's fucking hunting season. Let's go. Get the bow ready. Lock it in. Let's go. Who's next? Where is it? When is it? And let's just create that chaos. What I want to do when I become a champion is I want to fight consistently.
Yeah.
Look at Adesanya. Look at John Jones. Yeah. Look at the way they just went back to back to back to back to back. I'm the second most active fighter in the entire UFC since I made my UFC debut. Do you know who the other guy is?
Is it Izzy?
Nope.
No.
Makhachev.
Nope.
No, definitely not Makhachev anyways.
Poetan.
Oh,
and the only reason it is because he's had 2 super short notice fights to save cards, right? He had 303 where he got called up against Yuri on a thing and he had fought Yuri before that to save another card that I think it was like
290 something.
Something. It went out to save that card and I got 2 weeks in advance. He's fought 9 times. I fought 8 times. And I pulled out of a fight with fucking pneumonia. So we were bait, like we would have been 9-9. And I wanted to fucking fight that week, only the doctor pulled me out and I was like, bollocks. Mm. But it's just one of those things. I'm so fucking active that I'm going to keep pushing these boundaries and I want to make it like, dude, lads, I'd love to fight 12 times a year.
Yeah.
I'd love to fight every month. Go, right, give me the biggest pay-per-view every month. I'll do it all. I'd love to do it. But if you give me 3 fights a year for the next 3 years, that's 9 fights. And I've explained it to you at the start of the show. I don't need 9 fights. In the UFC to become one of the greatest of all times, especially when you look at the opponents, the names that I could do and be in those 9 fights and the fact that I could win 2 world titles in that. And you've got many, many options for storylines. You know, you've got, I've trained with Leon, I've trained with Shavkat, I've trained with Gilbert. You know what I mean? I've got all these connections where it's like, they've trained together. How is this fight go? How is this fight go? You then look at the middleweight division. I'm still a pup.
Yeah,
in this division, like I'm 27 in November. I'm not even touching my prime. Like I'm just getting bigger and stronger every fight because the way I approach this fight is different. The way I approach this is as an elite athlete, not as a fighter. I didn't just do fighting because it's all I had. I chose to do this, which makes me more fucked up mentally. Is this what I chose to do?
Yeah.
When I think about it like that, I'm going out here, I'm traveling the world with a nutritionist that makes me meals almost every day. And he goes, eat these, that'll be the best thing for you to be a peak athlete every day. I'm traveling the globe with a strength and conditioning coach that's going, right, here's our plan for the next 3 months. We want to keep you fit, fast, and we want to get you stronger. We're going to do this over the next 3 months. And then when we get into camp, we're going to change it all up to be more fight specific. And it's just like, I can't see any world where I don't continue to do that over the next 3, 4, 5 years. And I just don't get better. Like, it's and then I'm training with Damien, I'm training with Charles, I'm training with all these guys that are world class at what they do. The knowledge and the experience that I'm going to gather over the next half a decade, it just means I'm going to be unbelievably unbeatable and unstoppable. And it's a journey that I'm grateful to be on, and I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Brilliant.
We can't wait either.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in to us. I know you have to shoot off now because you have a round of golf to go to.
Yeah. Now, a second 18 for the day.
Yeah, now, thanks very much for coming in. And don't forget, before we finish up, shout out to FlyFit who are supporting us. 20 locations nationwide from €35 per month. Get online, flyfit.ee. Get your membership now. You finished, Terry?
Yeah,
wrap this one up.
I appreciate it. Look, if you ever want me back on, maybe after we go 16 and I'll pop me back on.
No problem. You give us a shout whenever you're back.
Pleasure chatting with you, lads. It was fun.
Take us out there. Bill.
Go Loud presents Talking Bollocks, proudly supported by FlyFit. Smash your fitness goals, guided by expert trainers at FlyFit. Visit flyfit.ie to sign up now. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Fill your body up in. Work it hard and long. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Cut down.